Welcome to Inspiring People and Places, where we interview national leaders in the architectural, engineering, construction, and development industry in an effort to educate, innovate, and inspire industry professionals to disrupt the status quo, improve their project teams, and steward public and private investments more effectively. I'm your host, BJ Kramer, President and CEO of MCFA. Allow me to introduce today's guest. Welcome back, everybody. Let me ask you a quick question. Have you ever gotten involved in a project and quickly regretted winning the work or taking the assignment? You're listening to Inspiring People and Places, and today I'm going to teach you the number one secret to successfully navigating the challenges of a demanding project or a demanding client. But before I get there, I want to tell you a story. Last week, I had dinner with a client and one of our project managers. I actually brought this client a gift. We were laughing and hugging and celebrating what appears to be a clear line of sight to the finish line of what has been a very, very challenging project. Read over budget, over schedule, every differing site condition you can imagine, and the extreme ownership in both the project manager and myself have had to kind of be each other's cheerleader the entire project. And at MCFA, we talk about we navigate projects through the valley of no, up the mountain of we can't. And this one is one that's certainly through with plenty of valleys and peaks at it. So I have to take you back to the beginning of the project. First of all, it's a friendly relationship, an entrepreneurial client, real estate developer, and a very friendly deal, meaning he wanted us to run his project. He trusted us. He knew us well enough. He knew that we were the right company, the right team. And the project was ill-defined enough that he knew he needed somebody to help him kind of navigate and scope it. So I got to take you back to, it was probably June of 2022 when we sat with an architect and we had just done a site visit of the project, kind of just a walkthrough. And the architect pulls up the most beautiful pictures of the most beautiful resort you have ever seen. And mind you, going into this project, the client told me one thing. He said, we've got a $10 million budget. So the architect scrolls through. I'm talking top-end resort that you might find in South Beach. And the client looks at me and says, what do you think? And I said, it's a $32 million project, or it's a $32 million vision, and we have a $10 million project. I think we've got our work cut out for us. And his enthusiasm did not wane one bit. And we still had probably 2 months before he was actually closing on the project. I said, we really got to value engineer this. We got to make sure we understand really what needs to be accomplished here. Fast forward probably 6 weeks. I'm on a conference call. We basically had challenged the team and the architect to kind of de-scope this into a $10 million project. And 6 weeks later, 3 weeks before the client's closing on the property, and we don't know anymore. They have not changed pretty much any of the vision. As a matter of fact, they had clicked down a detail and the room furniture budget was probably at the $10 million mark. No, $5 million. I think they had it scoped at, it's a 100 key hotel. They had it scoped at about $50,000 a room. And we basically said the budget was enough to do $50,000 a room in renovation and refurbishment. So totally, totally misaligned expectations and misaligned visions. And then the closing got delayed. And I said, can we delay closing more? Because I think that there's still risks associated with this project. My project manager pushed and pushed and pushed, said, we don't know what we don't know yet. We haven't been able to do appropriate due diligence. And because of the nature of the deal, it was like, you have to close now or you're going to lose the deal. So client, we let them know that there's unknown unknowns. Client closes. And we had not formally been engaged yet with a contract. And I said to my project manager, Labor Day weekend, said, this one is going to be a challenge and we do not have to do this project. And he said, I know it's going to be a challenge. We know what we're facing. We don't know the specifics, but we know what we're getting into. I think we should continue doing it. I said, all right, we're going to continue doing it. And I think I actually have this on video when he was in my office and we finalized this. And the project lived out to be exactly what we thought it was going to be. And I think that there's a lot of lessons learned in things that we did well, things that we could have done better, but certainly things that any project manager that is responsible for a tough client or a demanding project, a brutal schedule, a tight budget needs to know. So here's I think there's 7 things. I could probably boil them down to 3, but I'm going to go with all 7 because I think maybe they overlap, but it's worth saying. Rule number 1, clear communication. I hate the concept of CYA. I don't think that you do this for CYA. I think you do this for good, solid decision-making, discussion, and justification for why a decision was made, when it was made. Because as we make decisions, we can only make the decisions with the information that we have at the time. And we can certainly challenge ourselves to find out more information. We can certainly document assumptions that we are making, but we have to have clear communication. So anytime that we are in a meeting, you have to, 1, confirm that that's what you're hearing or that's what we're saying or that's what the decision is that we're making. And then 2, write it down and document, document, document. Again, this is not CYA. This is just good project management, construction management practices. And yes, could these documents be engaged in a legal matter at some point in time? For sure. But more important for you as the project manager, it's not to place blame. It's to be prepared to shirk blame. It's really to be able to definitively say, what happened? Why did it happen? Why did we make this decision? So clear communication is 1. 2 is realistic expectations. From the get-go, everybody knew that there was a $30+ million vision and a $10 million minus budget. And that gap, it gave us an interesting challenge on this project because part of our role as the owner's rep and the project manager, and we almost became the GC of this, part of our role was making the magic of the project happen. And what I mean by that is we all knew that what we were trying to accomplish was impossible. Our job was to help this owner navigate the impossible. And when you have extremely excited, energetic, can-do people trying to make things happen, but at the same time navigating risks, you can get off the same page very quickly. So from the beginning, our rallying cry was, we are pulling off the impossible. And that was our way of 1, encouraging ourselves, and 2, setting the expectation of the client to like, hey, we are here helping you pull off the impossible. We haven't committed to some absolute deadline, absolute budget with all of these unknown variables. We are here helping you navigate the impossible. So 2 is realistic expectation. Inspiring People and Places is brought to you by MCFA. MCFA is a CVE-verified, service-disabled, veteran-owned small business. At MCFA, our why is to inspire people and places through project leadership. We provide planning, strategy, program management, and construction management support services to a wide variety of public and private sector clients. 3, and this is where I think we could have done a better job, is regular updates. And this is on you to figure out what your owner or your client or your team might require. Regular updates, maybe they're daily, maybe they're weekly, maybe they're monthly. I think at a minimum twice a month. I prefer 4 times a month because I think it's just important to stay on top of it, especially when there's decision making or there's going to be second and third order effects to schedule or budget based on decision making. More regular updates are better. 4, which the scope was never absolute. The vision was clear, but 4 is managing scope creep. Scope creep is the easiest thing to say yes to when you're a project manager. It's the hardest thing to navigate because you hear a client say, can you do this? Could you do this? Hey, we need you to do this. And the last thing you want to do is bring up, well, I got to get you a pricing and a schedule impact. And you're kind of just saying, yeah, we'll take care of it. Yeah, we'll take care of it. But this is tied to realistic expectations. Clients don't know what they don't know. So they may be looking at the engagement or the project as one big project and not looking at the second and third order effects of where that impacts budget and schedule. And they need to be reminded of that. So it's this tough art and science of balancing like the can-do attitude and we can accomplish anything and we can pull off the impossible with the realistic expectations. And sometimes it's the coaching of what the impacts of those decisions or what yes is going to look like. And I think great owners, they want to be coached. They want to be told no, or they want to be told yes, but ... we're going to need more budget. We're going to need to change schedule expectations, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Number five is feedback and review. You have to, in line with clear communication, you have to be able to create a forum where there's no rank, there's no defensiveness. It's all, hey, how can we continuously improve this project engagement? Nobody, and I mean, I shouldn't say nobody. There are people that I think do wake up in the morning and all they want to do is piss somebody off or try to screw somebody over. The vast majority of us don't want to work on project teams, don't want to work with clients, don't want to engage in that kind of activity. I think that having consistent feedback and kind of client reviews, and we use the after action review a lot at MCFA, which is a military way of taking rank off, getting the whole project team, not to place blame, sometimes to take ownership as leaders. Hey, I could have done this better. But it really has to be setting the tone of we could have done this, we could have done that. How could we have done this better? What could we have done to avoid this? Where are we off on our expectations or our communication? Back to one and two. So feedback and review. Number six is risk management. That I think is just the old adage, bad news doesn't get better with time. So you have to constantly be communicating risk and distilling it, not overcomplicating risk, but making everybody aware that like, hey, it's budget, budget, budget here, or it's schedule, schedule, schedule here, or whatever the rallying cry is. Like I said, we're pulling off the impossible. With the impossible, it's fraught with risk. We knew it going in. He knew it going in. Sometimes we just have to take ourselves out of the emotion of trying to make the impossible happen, take a deep breath, and look realistically at the equation to say, where are risks and how can we mitigate, manage, navigate, or accept them? And then the last is celebrating wins. In the EOS world, we start every meeting in our company with good news, personal, professional, to focus on making the meeting positive, putting everybody in a positive mood. And I think the same thing has to go on any project. You've got to focus on the good. All of us are constantly, our jobs are traditionally navigating, managing, mitigating the risks to budget, the risks to schedule, the risks to quality, the safety risks. We're a bit of the bad guy officer in many ways when we're dealing with the science of project management. Well, the art of project management is constantly maintaining a positive attitude. Admiral Stockdale's quote comes to mind, and I can't think of it off the top of my head, but I'll look it up. The Stockdale paradox, which is, you must never confuse faith that you will prevail in the end with the discipline to confront the most brutal facts of your current reality. James Stockdale. So it's this art and science of balancing positive attitude that we're going to win this with total clarity that, hey, but this is the problem we're dealing with right now. So that's it. If I had to boil it down to three, clear communication, realistic expectation, and regular updates, I think project managers have a really, really, really hard job, especially when you're in between a whole bunch of different stakeholders that oftentimes feel like they're all our boss. We're the glue trying to keep a project on track and moving forward and navigating the politics or the finances or the schedule or the technical issue or the tactical detail, or the project manager, construction manager is the person navigating all of that in real time, day to day. Figuring out a way to align stakeholders and constantly have clear communication, remind everybody of the realistic expectations. That requires commitments from everybody. When you set realistic expectations and then you follow through on the commitments, that behavior over time starts to tell the story of a project and a project team. And it will also start to tell you if you're good at setting realistic expectations. And then regularly updating on where we are. I think those three things come together. So I hope this is of value to you. Maybe it's a reminder. If you're not good at these skills, get some books on them. How to Win Friends and Influence People comes to mind, just in terms of, I would say, the art side and the understanding of the human condition that's going on around us. All of our stakeholders and us ourselves are bringing all of our humanity to the job. And sometimes that leads to emotional outbursts and emotional behavior. But as the leader of a project, you have to constantly be the one reminding everybody what we're trying to accomplish. I think having a rallying cry around what you're accomplishing constantly sets a team mindset. It avoids a trying to place blame. And I don't mean not have accountability, but there's a difference between accountability and blame. And I think that's it for today. So clear communication, realistic expectation, regular updates, and I got to add celebrating wins, because like I said, the wins, you can't wait for the ribbon cutting and then the certificate of occupancy to celebrate a construction project. You got to be able to celebrate the milestones, whether it's daily, weekly. You got to keep the team and yourself and the client excited about what's being accomplished and proud of what you're accomplishing. So that's it for this week. I hope it's helpful. I do think that when you get this stuff right and you get your positive interactions going, fulfillment certainly comes from navigating the impossible. And fulfillment also comes from enjoying the people that you're working with. And part of enjoying is being able to navigate the lows of human behavior, which is the frustration or the outburst. But I was very, very proud. We have a framed picture of Walt Disney in front of Magic Kingdom when it was just land, swamp land. And the quote at the bottom is by Walt Disney, "Sometimes it's fun to do the impossible." And I do think that that's the most fulfilling part of the work that we have here in the built environment. So I challenge all of you to be the glue that keeps it together, but also be the maestro of when to use art and when to use science to maintain the spirit and the camaraderie that it takes to have a great project. Hey, everybody. If you're enjoying this show, do us a favor and subscribe to Inspiring People and Places on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast hosting platform. We'd also greatly appreciate if you left us a review and shared this with other entrepreneurial public servants and all your friends and family in the AEC space. Be sure to visit our website, www.mcfaglobal.com. Sign up for our newsletter to stay in touch with us and learn about all of the projects and clients we're helping. Last but not least, we are hiring. We are always hiring. Do us a favor. Take a look at what jobs we have open. Contact us through our website or connect with me on LinkedIn. Until next time, have a great rest of your week and a great weekend.